Ezekiel chapter 26, read just the first of the few verses here as we begin this morning. Ezekiel 26, verse 1. And it came to pass in the 11th year, in the first day of the month, that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, because that Tyrus, or Tyre, hath said against Jerusalem, Aha, she is broken, that was the gates of the people. She is turned unto me, I shall be replenished, now she is laid waste. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Tyrus, or again, Tyre, and will cause many nations to come up against thee, as the sea causeth her waves to come up. And they shall destroy the walls of Tyrus, and break down her towers. I will also scrape her dust from her, and make her like the top of a rock. It shall be a place for the spreading of nets in the midst of the sea. For I have spoken it, saith the Lord God, and it shall become a spoil to the nations. And her daughters which are in the field shall be slain by the sword. And they shall know that I am the Lord. For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will bring upon Tyrus Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, a king of kings from the north, with horses and with chariots and with horsemen and companies and much people. He shall slay with the sword thy daughters in the field, and he shall make a fort against thee, and cast a mount against thee, and lift up the buckler against thee, and he shall set engines of war against thy walls. And with his axes he shall break down thy towers. By reason of the abundance of his horses, their dust shall cover thee. Thy walls shall shake at the noise of the horsemen, and of the wheels, and of the chariots, when he shall enter into thy gates, as men enter into a city wherein is made a breach. With the hooves of his horses shall he tread down all thy streets. He shall slay thy people by the sword, and thy strong garrisons shall go down to the ground. We'll stop our reading there. Let's pray. Again, our Father, we bow before you, and we confess that you are God, and there is no other. You alone are the Savior of men. You have created us. You have made us. We ask now again today, as we have opened up this scripture, that you will open up our hearts, help us to see this world as it really is. Deliver us. And use, Father, I pray, this message, wherever it may end up, and whoever may listen to it in the future, to disturb them, alarm them, and deliver them. I ask it in Jesus' name. Know that our Lord said, What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Our Lord observed the hold that riches have on our soul when he said, How hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? That's Mark 10:24. At the same time, Satan knows the power of things. He said of Job, touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. That was Satan's accusation against Job in Job 1:11. So we come to these three chapters, chapter 26, 27, and 28. These three chapters are God's announcement of the judgment on Tyre or Tyrus. The judgment on the kingdom and on its king and rulers. Now its first mention, as far as a city, is found in the book of Joshua chapter 29, and it's referred to as the strong city, Tyre. Now, it would be incorporated in the inheritance of Asher, but Asher would never and did never conquer these cities. Asher never subdued the Phoenician cities. At the same time, David and Solomon, in their era of time, they were had a mutual affection with King Hiram and supplied both materials and gifts, as well as gifted artisans to fabricate the stone and the metalworks needed for the great temple that Solomon would build. But time soured this relationship between Israel and Tyre. You are here in the book of Ezekiel. You can turn over just a few books. Right after Ezekiel is Daniel, and right after Daniel, you have the book of Hosea. Right after the book of Hosea, you have the book of Joel. And I'm reading to you out of the book of Joel, chapter 3, and verses 4 to 8. Joel chapter 3, verses 4 to 8. Yea, and what have ye to do with me, O Tyre and Zidon, and all the coasts of Palestine? Will ye render me a recompense? And if ye recompense me swiftly and speedily, will I return your recompense upon your own head? Because ye have taken my silver and my gold and have carried into your temples my goodly pleasant things. The children also of Judah and the children of Jerusalem have ye sold unto the Grecians, that ye might remove them far from their border. Behold, I will raise them out of the place whither ye have sold them, and will return your recompense upon your own head. And I will sell your sons and your daughters into the hand of the children of Judah, and they shall sell them to the Sabians, to a people far off, for the Lord has spoken it. So in this portion of Scripture, it is clear, and this was written approximately 200 years before Ezekiel's time. So there had been a long-standing issue that the city of Tyre had trafficked human souls. Nothing new in that region or in that era of time. Slavery wasn't something unusual or particular to the African people. Slavery was a common experience in all of the world in that period of time. Well, come back with me now here to Ezekiel as we begin here in chapter 26. But we also must ask ourselves, as God has begun to deal with these nations, the previous chapters, as we saw last week, how that God announced judgment against the Ammonites, against the Moabites, against Edom, and against the Philistines. Now he takes up these three chapters, this very extensive rebuke, condemnation, and judgment that would come against this city of Tyre. But we want to ask ourselves, what benefit was this to Ezekiel and all of the captives that had been taken out of Jerusalem? You remember in year 597, Nebuchadnezzar came into Jerusalem, subdued them, and carried them away by the thousands. And Ezekiel tells us that they were situated. Daniel ends up in Babylon, but Ezekiel and the vast number of the Jews that had been taken captive, they are by the river Chebar. And so Ezekiel is addressing all of the captives, the exiles that are now there. So we're asking ourselves, well, what would this benefit? How would this be a point of encouragement or help to those that are by the river Chebar, the exiles, the captives? We'll answer that here in time. We have already noted, we see, first of all, the sin of Tyre as it's recorded here. Ezekiel writes and says, son of man, verse 2, we're in Ezekiel 26 and verse 2, son of man, because that Tyrus has said against Jerusalem, aha, she is broken, that was the gates of the people. She is turned unto me, I shall be replenished, now she is laid waste. As we saw last week, God announces the same judgment on the Ammonites because in chapter 25 and verse 3, they did the same thing. And say unto the Ammonites, I'm reading from chapter 25 and verse 3, and say unto the Ammonites, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God, because thou saidest, aha, against my sanctuary, when it was profaned, and against the land of Israel, when it was desolate, and against the house of Judah, when they went into captivity. This animosity is displayed. The destruction that had come, Tyre also now joins in with the fall of Jerusalem, the judgment that God had placed on the Jewish people. They too now join in with their aha. But theirs is a little different. The Ammonites, the Moabites, and the Edomites, they were all relatives, as we know, of Israel. They were distant cousins, distant relatives. That's not the case with Tyre. There's an entirely different relationship that we're going to look at and see here with the city of Tyre as it is connected with the Jewish people and with the captives that were there by the river Chebar. We see here that it is greed and covetousness is the crime that is particularly cited here. 200 years ago, God has already announced through Joel, as we've already read, that because they had actually taken the Jewish people and sold them as slaves, God was going to bring onto them the very thing that they had done. They would eventually be sold, and we'll see that in history here as we recount it in just a moment. Hold your place here. I want us to see a principle found in the book of Proverbs that Solomon writes. I'm asking you to turn to Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17. This is not only a statement that would apply to last Lord's Day's message, but also again here to Tyre. I'm looking at Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 5. Whoso mocketh the poor reproacheth his maker, capital M. And he that is glad at calamities shall not be unpunished. It's a good warning, isn't it? Whoso mocketh the poor reproacheth his maker. And he that is glad at calamities shall not be unpunished. The very thing that Moab and Edom, the Ammonites and the Philistines and now Tyre, they're all glad for different reasons. The previous was for family issues. But now here, Tyre sees the fall of Jerusalem as the opening up of the gates. And again, the commerce of travel in that day is extensive, as we'll see in the next chapter here in a little bit. It's extensive. And the routes that took from through Jerusalem down towards the Red Sea, towards Edom, as they came up through, no doubt probably the Jewish people levied a little tax if you're going to travel our roads as they came through. So now with Jerusalem destroyed, the gates are open. I'm going to be able to get a little more money for my product. I'm not going to have to pay the toll tax to come through Jerusalem. It's all about money. All about the commercial interests. They're going to suffer for that. But that's not anything new to the human nature, is it? Just as we've been studying here on Wednesday nights, going through the book of Genesis, and we're about to study how the brothers of Joseph sold him into slavery. And you'll remember that Judah said, you know, what's the profit if we kill him? And that's the first time the word profit's found in the Bible. What's the profit if we kill him? And it's Judah that said this. Judah? Yes, that's the tribe. That's the city of Jerusalem. So already they've got it in their modus operandi. Whatever we do, let's at least make some money off of this. So you see, Jerusalem and Tyre, they had something in common, didn't they? They had a nature to make money. So that's very simply the clear declaration as to the sin for which God is going to judge Tyre. And now beginning in verse 3, God begins to lay out what's going to come. This is a prophetic word of what is going to take place when God brings his judgment on the city of Tyre. Verse 3, "Behold, I am against thee, O Tyrus, and will cause many nations to come up against thee, as the sea causeth his waves to come up." If you've been by the ocean, we all recognize the sound of the waves, isn't that? Well, I enjoy that, going to the ocean and hearing the lapping of the sound of the water on the seashore. Because few things are as relaxing as that is. But it's not going to be relaxing for Tyre, because just as repetitive and predictable as the waves of the sea coming on shore are going to be the waves of nations that are going to come against Tyre. So this will not be a once and for all judgment of this city. It will come, and it will come again, and it will come again. Ultimately, there will come a time when the walls and the towers will be torn down and the dust will be scraped by her and she'll become like the top of a rock. But that won't necessarily be her end. But we'll examine that as we dig a little bit deeper here. Just to remind you about the city of Tyre, it's right on the coast of the Mediterranean. And originally it had a mainland city with a space of water out to a little island on which another part of the city lived. The walls, both on the mainland, stood about 150 feet tall, as did the walls of the little island as it faced toward the land. They stood about 150 feet tall there as well, lesser on the backside or the Mediterranean side of the island. Waves are going to come. The first wave and significant wave is found here, as we find in verse 7. "Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will bring upon Tyrus Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon." And he would come. When would he come? He would come just a short time after the fall of Jerusalem. And he would lay siege against Tyre. His siege would last 13 years. And he would not completely destroy Tyre. He does finally come in. He breaks down the walls. He destroys it. But Tyre was a significant city. They weren't going to simply lay down and remain as Nebuchadnezzar leaves it. And he does not venture out. Nebuchadnezzar doesn't have a navy. He can't bridge this water between the two. So he leaves there and he goes down to Egypt and conquers Egypt. Well, so then God's word, did it fail? Well, no, not at all. In time, as you know, Nebuchadnezzar becomes taken over by the Persians, Medes and Persians. So then Tyre comes under the domination of the Medes and Persians. Then they fall to Alexander, and Alexander comes, and you remember, and this is where the specific language that we find here of it being cast into the sea takes place. So Alexander the Great comes and he demands, as all the other Phoenician cities had submitted to him, but Tyre would not submit. They had rebuilt the walls. But it doesn't take Alexander very long for him to break down the mainland walls, come in and destroy them. But they've got the folks out on the island waving at Alexander. And they're not going to submit. But Alexander doesn't have a navy either. So, enraged at their arrogance, Alexander begins taking all of that city and dumping it. It's roughly 2,700 feet between where the mainland was and the island. And he built a causeway 900 feet wide to 600 feet wide. And as he's taking all the debris and tossing it into the Mediterranean to fill in this gap, he even also builds towers. But out of the city of Tyre on the island, they come and they attack him and tear down his towers. So they're determined they're not going to submit to Alexander. And he finally realizes he's going to have just a continued loss of life, because from their vantage point, they had very easy access to destroy and wound and kill his men. So he goes up and down the coast commandeering boats and begins to come in and attack from the backside that did not have the significant wall that the wall faced towards the mainland. And in time, he finished building the causeway, breached the main wall, went in and absolutely demolished them. And it's interesting, if you want to just type in Tyre, Lebanon, modern day to day, you can see, Google's got a picture of it. You can look at it right from the top. You can see how the causeway is built out to the island. You can't imagine that today, you can't look at that little piece of island and imagine that there was 40,000 people living in it. When Alexander came in, he killed between 6,000 and 8,000 of them. And what did we read in the prophet Joel, written 200 years before Ezekiel's time and 400 years before Alexander? 30,000 of them he sold into slavery. Men, women, and children. All sold. What terrible consequences there are when the only thing that you can think about is money, commerce, getting ahead. Sounds a whole lot alike our world today, doesn't it? In particular, our own country. In doing my research and reading, in fact, it is even described, Tyre is even described as the New York City of the ancient world. It is interesting as we look at chapter 26 and verse 5, it shall be a place for the spreading of nets. Where? In the midst of the sea. Well, how can you spread nets out to dry in the midst of the sea? Well, you can do that if that sea has all been filled in. And now you can spread nets where once there was sea. God's word is absolutely fulfilled as God said. Now you notice we had stopped our reading at verse 11. Let me just let your eyes cast, beginning at verse 8, you'll notice the word, he shall slay. And in the verse, he shall make a fort. Verse 9, and he shall set engines. And at the end, he shall break down the towers. Verse 10, his horses. And verse 10, he shall enter into thy gates. Verse 11, his horses he shall tread down, he shall slay the people. Verse 12, and they. Now we have, we've got an immediate change here from a he to they. Verse 12, and they shall make a spoil of thy riches, and make a prey of thy merchandise, and they shall break down thy walls. So we see the difference in time and the difference in the waves that was described. God said many nations are going to come against thee as the sea causes its waves to come in. So verses 7 through 11 clearly describe Nebuchadnezzar, beginning at verse 12. We see the destruction that Alexander brought. So verse 12, and he shall make a spoil of thy riches, and make a prey of thy merchandise, and they shall break down thy walls, and destroy thy pleasant houses, and they shall lay thy stones and thy timbers, and thy dust in the midst of the water, and I will cause the noise of the songs, of thy songs to cease, and the sound of thy harps shall be no more. Again, looking at all of this enormous archaeological debris that has been found, you've got little figurines of them playing harps and of singing. Again, everything that you read here about Tyre, the advancement of their abilities, their work in gold and silver, their engineering capabilities, they had also built an aqueduct to bring water into their city. And those very fountains of water today are still flowing. Wave after wave, God has brought in. Not only did Alexander take control, of course the Romans would come after that. And after the Romans would come, the Muslims would come in and take over Tyre in time. Then the Crusaders would come. Crusaders came and spent time in Tyre as well. Wave after wave after wave. It's not until the 1200s that Tyre is finally, as she had always been, laid low. So what you see here, let's drop down in chapter 26 to verse 20. And I, now God beginning to speak, he actually begins, let's take verse 19. Thus saith the Lord God, when I shall make thee a desolate city, like the cities that are not inhabited, when I shall bring up the deep upon thee, and great waters shall cover thee. So you're recognizing that the city is being personified as that will be cast into the ocean. Verse 20, "And I will bring thee down with them that descend into the pit, with a people of old time, and shall set thee in the lower parts of the earth, in places desolate of old, with them that go down to the pit, that thou shalt not be inhabited, and I shall set glory in the land of the living. And I will make thee a terror, and thou shalt be no more, though thou be sought for, yet shalt thou never be found again, saith the Lord God." Now we've already noted that Tyre is destroyed and rebuilt, and destroyed and rebuilt, and destroyed and rebuilt, all the way to the 1200s. So when we look at this, when the scripture says, "Thou shalt be no more," remember that the city under in Alexander's time, that's what's being depicted here, that as those that go down into the pit, those that die are buried. So that city, buried into the depths of the ocean, well, no one has gone in there to dig all of that back out. It would be no more. It would never be resurrected again. Yes, the city would bounce back, but that city, as personified in the scripture, would be buried in the ocean, never to be brought back up again. There are people living on Tyre today. In 2016, it said the population was around 200,000 between the island and the mainland. And from everything that I could see, a beautiful city. But the remains of the old city that Alexander destroyed, you can still see it like the top of a rock. God is bringing judgment. In chapter 27, we pick up what would be called the funeral song. And I'm going to read chapter 27 because I want to read it because I want you to think in terms of London. I want you to think of it in terms of New York City today and of the commerce that's going on in our world and its impact. And then we'll see another how important this is. Chapter 27 says, "The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Now, thou son of man, take up a lamentation for Tyrus, and say unto Tyrus, O thou that art situate at the entry of the sea, which art a merchant of the people for many isles, thus saith the Lord God, O Tyrus, thou hast said, I am perfect, I am of perfect beauty." Now that phrase will be important next Lord's Day as well. "Thy borders are in the midst of the seas." So you see, that's a language unbound. You're not just on the mainland, you're not just this island. "By the merchandise of the ships that had went out from Tyre, they encompassed the world that was then. Thy borders are in the midst of the seas. Thy builders have perfected thy beauty. They have made all thy shipboards of fir trees of Sinar. They have taken cedars from Lebanon to make masts for thee. Of the oaks of Bashan have they made thine oars. The company of the Asherites have made thy benches of ivory, brought out of the isles of Chittim. Fine linen with broidered work from Egypt was that which thou spreadest forth to be thy sail. Blue and purple from the isles of Elisha was that which covered thee. The inhabitants of Zidon and Arvad were thy mariners. Thy wise men, O Tyrus, that were in thee were thy pilots. The ancients of Gebel and the wise men thereof were in thee, thy caulkers. All the ships of the sea with their mariners were in thee to occupy thy merchandise. They of Persia and Lud and Put were in thine army. Thy men of war, they hanged their shields and their helmet in thee. They set forth their comeliness. The men of Arvad with thine army were upon thy walls and about, and the Gamadins were in thy towers. They hanged their shields upon thy walls round about. They have made thy beauty perfect. Tarshish was thy merchant by reason of riches. With silver, iron, and tin, and lead, they traded in thy fairs. Javan and Tubal and Meshech, they were thy merchants. They traded the persons of men. You see slavery here. And the vessels of brass and in thy market. In other words, the souls of men and merchandise equated to be the same. They were one and the same. One is no better than the other. They of the house of Togarmah traded in thy fairs with horses and horsemen and mules. The men of Dedan were thy merchants. Many isles were the merchandise of thine hand. They brought thee for a present horns of ivory and ebony. Syria was thy merchant by reason of the multitude of thy wares of thy making. They occupied in thy fairs with emeralds and purple and broidered work and fine linen and coral and agate. Judah, Jerusalem, and the land of Israel, they were thy merchants. They traded in thy market wheat of Minnith and Panag and honey and oil and balm. Damascus was thy merchant in the multitude of the wares of thy making, for the multitude of thy riches, in the wool of Helbon and white wool. Dan also and Javan, going to and fro, occupied in thy fairs, brought iron, cassia, calamus, were in thy market. Dedan was thy merchant in the precious cloths for chariots. Arabia and all the princes of Kedar, they occupied with thee in lambs and rams and goats. In these they were thy merchants. The merchants of Sheba and Ramah, they were thy merchants. They occupied in thy fairs with chief of all spices and with all precious stones and gold. Haran and Kenneth and Eden, the inhabitants of Sheba and Asher and Kilimad were thy merchants. These were thy merchants in all sorts of things, in blue clothes, embroidered work, in the chest of rich apparel, bound with cords and made of cedar among thy merchandise. The ships of Tarshish did sing of thee in thy market, and thou wast replenished and made very glorious in the midst of the seas. To that point, we have the extent of all the merchandise that seemed to be coming from all points of the world. They describe that Tarshish is Spain. So they had sailed all the way into Spain and set up outposts there. They found artifacts all the way to Britain. The Phoenicians had sailed all the way to Britain. They're the first ones that circumnavigated all around the coast of Africa, out into the Indian Sea and all the way back. Everything was about commerce. Everything was about money. And it didn't make any difference whether it was commodities that needed to be sold, and we see that. But we also see in this great list, great luxuries. You have gold and emeralds and jewels and silver. This was quite a city. And if you can imagine spices coming from all points of the world to be bought and sold, men and women and children to be enslaved and sold there. Again, we're still asking ourselves, why is God saying all of this to those by the river Chebar? Why is he taking Israel to step back and look at all of this commerce that's taking place? Why? Well, we're not quite done yet. Up to this point, we have seen all of the wealth coming in, all of the wealth going out. But now in verse 26, we pick up the picture that is being painted of a ship at sea in distress. Thy rowers have brought thee into great waters. In other words, there's a great storm, a stirring on the waters. The east wind hath broken thee in the midst of the seas. Thy riches and thy fares, thy merchandise, thy mariners, and thy pilots, thy caulkers, and the occupiers of thy merchandise, and all thy men of war that are in thee and in all thy company, which is in the midst of thee, shall fall into the midst of the seas in the day of thy ruin. So in these two verses, we have we have a great ship. On board that ship is all that had been described previously. The wares, the value, the riches, they're all coming into Tyre, and Tyre is this great, magnificent city of commerce, pictured as a ship whose waves have beat against it now, and she's going to be destroyed. Now we pick up those along the shore, verse 28. The suburbs shall shake at the sound of the cry of thy pilots, and all that handle the oar, the mariners and all the pilots of the sea shall come down from their ships. They shall stand upon the land. They shall cause their voice to be heard against thee, and shall cry bitterly, and shall cast up dust upon their heads. They shall wallow themselves in the ashes, and they shall make themselves utterly bald for thee, and gird them with sackcloth, and they shall weep for thee with bitterness of heart and bitter wailing. And in their wailing, they shall take up a lamentation for thee and lament over thee, saying, what city is like Tyrus, like the destroyed in the midst of the sea? When thy wares went forth out of the seas, thou filledest many people. Thou didst enrich the kings of the earth with the multitude of thy riches and of thy merchandise. In the time when thou shalt be broken by the sea in the depths of the waters, thy merchandise and all thy company in the midst of thee shall fall. All the inhabitants of the isles shall be astonished at thee, and their kings shall be sore afraid. They shall be troubled in their countenance. The merchants among the people shall hiss at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt be any more. Why, we ask? What is God trying to teach Israel, Judah? Their glory is over. These that are along the shore that see the destruction that takes place are in great agony of soul for the loss of the benefit that Tyre had brought. I think that there is only one answer that we can come up with as to why God is doing this and what he's trying to show Jerusalem, Judah, and the captives here by the river Chebar. For all that we can say, and we know that Judah was part of this, verse 17 of chapter 20 says that Judah and the land of Israel, they were thy merchants. They traded in wheat and honey, oil and balm. Even though Tyre had actually taken Jewish people and marketed them as slaves, and God had condemned them of that and promised that they themselves would also be sold. And we know in history that is what happened. We see here in the scripture, the city is dumped into the ocean as those that die and go into the pit. That city would never be rebuilt. The city itself would in time. What is God saying to his own people? As we have gone through the book of Ezekiel, we have noted how that the Jerusalem had embraced the nations around them. They had embraced their commerce, and they had embraced their gods. They had admired those surrounding nations. They had gloried in the things of this world. God is showing Israel the ultimate and final end of all of this. Isn't the final end of the merchant that he dies and leaves it all behind? He takes none of it with him. And even though such a city as this had been glorious, oh, she was beautiful as a city. She had the arts. She had the commerce. You know, I think that in some ways our churches today still admire the Madison Avenue means of church. Slick marketing has found its way into God's house. When Paul wrote to Timothy, he said to Timothy, "Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering." But there is a greater picture here for us. Something for us to see in our day. I want you to turn to, in your Bibles, to the book of Revelation chapter 18. Turn to Revelation chapter 18. And see if what we read here doesn't sound to be identical to the city of Tyre. Chapter 17 has announced that Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots, is destroyed. Verse 9 of chapter 18. "And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. Standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, 'Alas,'" or we might say, "Aha, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth her merchandise anymore. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all fine wood and all manner vessels of ivory and all manner vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. And the fruits that thy soul lusteth after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, 'Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour so great riches is come to naught.' And every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, "What city is like unto this great city?" And they cast dust in their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour she is made desolate." As God lays out the coming judgment of this world, Babylon now sounds exactly like Tyre. Its destruction will be the same. When God finally makes it clear that living for consumption of this world only ends in death. It almost sounds like America is Babylon, doesn't it? It almost sounds like the commercial structure of this world is someday going to finally be destroyed. Whether it's in an actual city or the combination of all of the cities that make up the Singapore, the Hong Kong, the Paris, the London. And what can the world do at that point? Since the whole of their heart and desire was nothing more than commerce. Get for today. Live for today. If there's anything that we're seeing here in Ezekiel, and what we read from this portion of Scripture, it is to make the Jews by the river Chebar to recognize. They may have admired Tyre, and they may have been merchants with them. But if anything's to be said, God is trying to make them step back and see. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You see, the judgment will fit the crime. The judgment will fit the crime. Carrying that to the cross, we discovered that the judgment fit the crime. The death of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross was the righteous judgment that my sin and our sin deserved. God has shown all through the book of Ezekiel, the judgment will meet the crime. God has put, we can't live in this world without commerce. We understand that. And it's not that commerce is wrong, but commerce as displayed here in Tyre and as displayed in the book of Revelation, the commerce of our day, that it's wealth, it's money at whatever cost. And Israel had participated in that, and her judgment fit the crime. Tyre had committed this, and the judgment had fit the crime. And this world, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, and judgment begins to fall in the great tribulation, the judgment will fit the crime. But we have a gospel to proclaim to sinners where the judgment fit the crime, so that sinners could be forgiven, pardoned by the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians that for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God by him. How Hallelujah for the cross, for the gospel. What does this do for us? This is, as we read the scripture, it's a reset for our thinking that we do not live for this world. We are to live for the next. We are to take what wealth and what God has given to us, we submit it back to Him. That God would use us. How wonderful to be a believer. And to have our thinking put correctly in light of the scripture. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? It is a message for today. It is a warning for today. A warning that was accomplished in prophetic scripture against Tyre. And a warning of a new day coming when God will judge the same sins in the same way by judgment. God help us to have a right attitude towards this world. Heavenly Father, how we thank you for the scriptures and the constant opportunity to have our thinking reset by the light of your word. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you came into this world and you had nothing. Born with nothing, lived with nothing, and yet saw your Father supply all your needs. Lord, you've done the same for us. We thank you for the homes that you've allowed us to have. We thank you for the food we're allowed to eat, the clothes we have on our back. We're grateful to you. But, oh God, help us not in any way to look to anything that this world has to offer and think that somehow its marketing, its commerce, its plans, its ideas can do anything to save a soul. Help us to preach the word, live the word, and honor our Lord that has bought us with his own blood. We ask these mercies in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing in closing here. Hymn number 330. Hymn number 330. If you'll stand with me as we sing in closing. Hymn number 330.
Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you now. For Jesus shed his precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you now. Yes, Jesus is the truth, the way that leads you into rest. Believe in him without delay, and you are fully blessed. Only trust. trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you now.
Brother Bob, would you close us in prayer today?